Go ahead.
Item number four, Orb Unit 7990, Department of Family Care, page 313.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the Finance Committee. Maria Ledger, Director of the Department of Family Care, and with me is Jim Hodson, our Chief Financial Officer. The Department of Family Care, as you know, is a managed care organization. We currently serve over 8,000 members, all of whom are intellectually disabled, physically disabled, or frail elderly. The enrolled members have to, as you know, be Medicaid eligible, as well as functionally in need of long-term care services. The department uses no tax levy and supports all staffing services with Medicaid dollars received from the state. The highlights of our budget are in our narrative, but I wanted to just point out a few things. That we are actively strengthening our provider network, those community agencies with whom we contract to provide critical services for our members. We want to continue to expand and improve the breadth of services, especially those entities and agencies that serve individuals with behavior challenges, both people with intellectual disabilities, behavioral health disorders, as well as Alzheimer's and related dementias. As a managed care organization, we want to be sure that we continue to have quality community services available for our most vulnerable members. In earlier board reports, just to refresh your memory, earlier this year, we talked about the process by which we begin planning for members and providing services. So if you have any additional questions about that at any point, I'm happy to give you some more detail in terms of how we go about providing services to members, particularly individuals from whom we're bringing out of larger, more restrictive settings. The Department of Family Care is not eliminating any positions in this budget. We are asking to create several needed staff positions in divisions of fiscal, quality improvement and monitoring, ethics and compliance, and marketing. This builds upon an initiative we began last year with bringing more of our quality staff in-house. Just as an example of what we have been doing, we have a rehab services supervisor, a rehabilitation services supervisor. This was a position created in the 2013 budget. This individual is currently taking the lead on an initiative we started to ensure that family care members who reside in their own homes receive any necessary home modifications to ensure their health and safety. Our nurse practitioner, our quality manager, and our medical director are recently working on what we call a PIP, a performance improvement project, that are looking at increasing health literacy for members, helping individuals, family care members, particularly those with diabetes, monitor their own blood pressure and improve their health outcomes. So we want to continue to build on those successes with the positions in this budget. Lastly, the Department of Family Care has received their preliminary capitation rate for 2014 from the State Department of Health Services. This preliminary rate was received after our budget submission and after the last meeting of the Finance, Personnel, and Audit Committee. Capitation rates decreased statewide for all MCOs, with the exception of those MCOs as we do serving members in Racine and Kenosha. The MCOs in Racine and Kenosha received a rate increase. The State Department of Health Services utilized what they called a policy adjustment for all of the managed care organizations in looking at their capitation rates. And again, I have to emphasize that this is a preliminary rate because we continue to work with the Department of Health Services on the final number. Mr. Hodson and I were on a conference call last night at about 6:30 with the department. If the initial rates stayed true, and we expect to see some movement, some positive movement in them, that would result in a projected $10.3 million revenue decrease for Department of Family Care. All of the managed care organizations were told to address this preliminary capitation rate in their business plans. These are the business plans that we prepare annually. They're three-year plans, and they're submitted to the state. They're due from all the MCOs to the state on October 16th. The state then reviews those business plans and will provide us with feedback. Unfortunately, it's a time disadvantage to be a strong MCO. Business plans from MCOs who are in a weaker position will be reviewed first. So ours will not be reviewed first. It will be reviewed down the road. So we will receive our feedback on our final rate a little bit later, I believe, than some of the other MCOs. So again, at this point, we don't know when we will know what it is or what the final number would be. But if that projected number holds true, We would anticipate drawing no more, actually less than half of that amount from our reserves to balance our budget, because the balance of any other revenue reduction we would realize through program efficiencies. Program efficiencies, not through rate cuts to our providers and not through layoffs of staff.
I just had a question about the, on page 316, the creation of an executive director to associate director clinical compliance position. Is that something new?
Mr. Chair, yes. That's the ethics and compliance officer. The state of Wisconsin has implemented a number of new policies, which we applaud, that are designed for the prevention, detection, and reporting of Medicaid fraud. They also insisted that all the managed care organizations improve and enhance their program integrity policies about detection. Part of the way that we now report Medicaid suspicions of Medicaid fraud is through the Office of the Inspector General. It's an outgrowth of regulations that come about through the Affordable Care Act. It's very clear from the emphasis, again, on this prevention and detection reporting of fraud and abuse. We need to continue to improve and staff up in that area. We have created, just within, I would say, in the last 6 months, out of our own internal governing board, we have subcommittees for finance, operations, and quality. We now have an ethics and compliance subcommittee. With as broad a provider network as we have and as many members as we serve, it's very important that we continuously monitor to make sure there is no fraud or abuse within the program. So that would be what that particular position would have oversight of.
I guess the only other question I have is I'm a little bit confused, and I don't think it's your right maybe, but in the budget summary on page 313, it says we go from 64 to 75 positions, and then on 316, it says we go from 64.6 to 72.2.
Okay.
I would expect those numbers to be the same. Or
and then, sorry, Mr. Chair, which page was that?
313 says you have 75 positions.
Okay. Thank you.
316 says you have 72.2.
Okay.
It's probably a good explanation, I'm sure, but Mr. Fudge?
Mr. Chairman, what you see in the budget summary, and this is true of all departments and program areas, is just the full-time positions. So the department in the 2013 budget has 64 FTE positions that actually have people in them. What you see on the table, the family care budgeted positions, 64.6 in 2013, that's because that includes the 0.6 FTE overtime. So in the summary on the front page and in the program areas, we wanted to give the actual positions and not include those technical items like overtime, B&T, things like that.
Any other questions, comments? Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know there was mention of the other providers that I guess are contributing to our numbers declining. Mm-hmm. Are we talking about providers like the state and their, mm-hmm. their program?
Mr. Chair, Supervisor Bowen, you're asking for information about the state self-directed supports program and the other competing managed care organizations?
Right.
Okay. As you know, Milwaukee County Department of Family Care is the single largest managed care organization in Milwaukee. However, there are other providers of the family care benefit in Milwaukee County. That would be community care. There are also other programs like family care, but with a larger benefit package, PACE and partnership programs. Those are administered both by community care and by eye care. And there is also, the state has their own self-directed supports waiver called IRIS. So when an individual, either 18 to 59 with disabilities or 60 and older who's a frail elder, goes to a resource center and is looking at long-term care options, those are the breadth of options that are now available to them. Prior to 2009, there was one family care provider and one partnership provider. So there are multiple choices for people to elect to enroll in. That's why it's incumbent upon us to continue to explain to people what the benefits of the program, the benefits of this particular administrator of the program, because obviously with no tax levy, all of our, we depend upon those capitation payments for each member enrolled. So we want to make sure that our enrollment stays steady. Just as a quick note, we budgeted for a flat enrollment for 2014, and while you always want to have an increase in enrollment, there have been a lot of managed care organizations across Wisconsin have seen decreases. So in this instance, maintaining the status quo on a flat enrollment with always the expectation that we can do a little bit better is actually a fairly optimistic projection, but one that we think is realistic.
Mm-hmm. And there was a $25,000 allocation for more marketing costs. Mm-hmm. Is that to try to increase your enrollment? Do you think that will really be effective to do that?
Mr. Chair, Supervisor Bowen, absolutely. We, and again, we highlighted a bit of this at the last Finance Committee per Supervisor Schmidt's request, but we try to have a presence at as many health fairs, information fairs, and I apologize, I don't recall which supervisor asked me about our buses, but as luck would have it, my son was driving down the highway, don't tell anybody this, and snapped a quick picture of our family care bus. He was so happy to see it. So, except for the fact that he shouldn't be doing that while he's driving, but he is 18, it's good to know that our buses are still out there. So, yes, we do need to continue to have that presence and have that both that brand recognition in terms of our logo and the name recognition for Milwaukee County Family Care.
Thank you. And last question is, does Family Care help pay for transportation like paratransit?
Mr. Chair, Supervisor Bowen, yes. Transportation is one of the many items that's in the Family Care benefit package, mm-hmm. Along with durable medical equipment and residential services. So, yes, we do pay for transportation for members.
Okay. Was your office consulted from the county exec to reduce the paratransit cost to the $3 line?
Mr. Chair, Supervisor Bowen. No, we haven't. Our member service expenses, we budget based upon, and Jim Hudson will stop me in a second, based upon our cost experience and the acuity of our members, but in terms of individual rates of providers, no.
Gotcha.
Unless it's something for which we directly contract.
Gotcha. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Stamper.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Midas software,
mm-hmm.
You guys doing well on that? Is that right? You know, you making money?
Mr. Chair, Supervisor Stamper. Too okay. The software, is something that was designed specifically for family care, and because of that, there are other managed care organizations in Wisconsin who have entered into lease agreements with us. It's unique in that it isn't something that you have to try to retrofit to your program. It is designed for the administration of family care.
Okay.
So it's not our intent to grow, obscenely wealthy off of this, but we want to make sure that all of the work that Milwaukee County has put in terms of man hours to continue to develop and enhance that program, that we're reimbursed for.
But is it an expense or is it a revenue?
Jim, is it an expense or a revenue? So,
yeah, Chairman, right? Supervisor Stamper, that's incremental revenue that will come to us.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thanks. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anything further?
I did know that.
Not, thank you.
Just a question about the sort of a, there was a quick statement about how you were going to make up that gap with, but you weren't mm-hmm. going to touch employees and you weren't going to change provider rates, you're just going to absorb it. And you want to explain that a little better, how that's going to be accomplished? That
Mr. Chair, Supervisor Lipscomb, absolutely. We continue to look towards efficiencies and how we administer the program correctly on a daily basis. So there's a number of initiatives that we look at in terms of, really it boils down to, if you authorize the services that members need to meet their outcomes in the amount that they need, it all works. So we continually do audits of our care management teams in terms of how they authorize services, ensuring that people live in least restrictive environments. When people are able to move from a larger setting to a smaller setting, most times, not always, but most times, those costs are less and the outcome for the member is better. So as we continue to move forward with things that we've been doing, identifying where services could be authorized in a way that better meets that member's outcome, and again, not wholesale going in and saying, you know, no one is going to get this thing any longer. But let's just make sure that this is being administered appropriately. Let's make sure that all of the functional screens that we complete to determine eligibility for individuals are done completely, because part of that information feeds into our rate model. If we continue to do those things and proceed on the pace that we've already established for this year, that all of those incremental things will enable us to manage that with that withdrawal from reserves, but not to have to eliminate any staff positions, as any other MCO or the state would be happy to tell you, we run a pretty lean shop as is. It would never be our intent for layoffs. And our providers, we have done some rate increases, and I think, again, we talked about these at the last meeting. We would still look at some targeted increases. We cannot expect providers to do a good job serving members if they can't make ends meet. But again, it seems simplistic. It's quite honestly, it's labor intensive to do. But if you continue to look at constantly member by member, really, and sometimes service by service, to make sure that you're doing that right, you don't have to go through sort of draconian measures in instances like this.
And then, you know, Director Colon invoked your name and the program and.
Mm-hmm.
Really, in many ways, put that responsibility on you and the program that, you know, he has confidence. But I guess I'd like to hear from you.
Absolutely.
You know, you said we're expanding the network and mm-hmm. building capacity, but it's really going to come to you to and those who work for you to make sure that those services are there for all these people that we're expecting family care to pick up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Mr. Chair, Supervisor Lipscomb, I'm glad you raised that issue. The other thing to be very clear about is, again, when Supervisor, no, I'm sorry, I forget, it was Bowen or Stamper, asked about how many other organizations there are. Most of, if not all, I'm guessing probably all of the individuals that we talk about, let's say at Hilltop, are family care eligible by virtue of their functional diagnoses and their income levels. But again, Milwaukee County Family Care is not the only managed care organization. Now, that being said, we have members right now who live at Hilltop who are enrolled in family care. That's one of those services that's in the benefit package. We also have individuals that we have moved out. We have individuals, and I went back quickly over lunch and looked at a significantly earlier report that I had provided to the board, I believe in February, and I believe my numbers at that time were prior to the downsizing. We had moved, let me figure out where I hid that, 10 individuals from the long-term care units, both Hilltop and Central. So that's prior to the downsizing being initiated. That is supposed to be what every MCO does. You're supposed to help people who want to move to the community move to the community. Since the downsizing has occurred, we have there have been an additional 9 individuals that we have moved out. So I can't speak to what the other managed care organizations have done. And I'm not privy to that. And I've got enough on my own plate. But as we, when individuals enroll and they opt into this MCO, right now we have tried to localize how that activity goes. So whereas I know you're all aware, we contract with many agencies to provide that interdisciplinary team. We only have one interdisciplinary team working with the individuals at the Behavioral Health Division. We have one of our placement team nurses dedicated solely to that initiative. And they're working with one individual in our contracts unit to continue to identify appropriate placements. For the individuals that have already moved out, some of them have gone to existing group homes that have vacancies. One individual in particular moved home with a family member, is receiving day programming services and supportive home care services in the home. His sister was very interested in having him move home. He's done well. And we've had at least one, perhaps two individuals go to an independent setting with what we call SIL services, supported independent living services. So when we talk about the breadth of our network, we have contracts with most of the providers, if not all, again, who have historically worked with this population. So when we're talking about growing capacity, it's not necessarily that you know, it has to be somebody who's not currently sitting at this table, but perhaps you as a provider are looking at a new site with new staff. So can we develop something, a small two-bed facility that's intensively staffed for these two individuals in a new setting? So we continue to work with providers and talk about what that should look like. What kind of training do you need? What kind of behavior support plans do we have to have in place? So the placement team and the IDT attend these Chapter 50 relocation meetings every 2 weeks. I've gone once or twice. I try to listen in. Phones aren't very good. But so they really look at what is it, and when Director Colon was speaking, that we try to look at exactly what you're going to need. Are you someone who does better living with more people, or is it really better if you're the only individual living in that house? We really can't do, you should never do a one-size-fits-all, but especially for this population, some of whom
have been... I think your question was more... generic okay. than what you're getting into. Right?
Did I go too far?
Well,
I do.
I appreciate that too.
I apologize.
But you touched on it a little bit, and because they really did kind of pass the ball to you.
Right. That's okay. Right. That's where it belongs. That's all right.
Thank you.
I'm all right with that.
Any other questions? If not, thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry.
And I think that's all we have for today. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Okay. We're adjourned.